It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Listen carefully. These are three very important quotes to consider from Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, quotes that are incredibly important at this most critical point in human history. Patriotism is usually the refuge of the scoundrel. He is the man who talks the loudest. Second quote, in the beginning of change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Third quote, the soul and substance of what customarily ranks as patriotism is moral cowardice and always has been. How many times have I tried to sound that alarm, to blindly wave your flag and support those in power unquestioningly is not patriotism, it's cowardice. In this broadcast, we will clearly and inarguably connect extremely important pieces of the puzzle from 9/11 to the push toward World War III that is unfolding right now in the Middle East. How does all of this connect to climate engineering and biosphere implosion? Follow me through this broadcast and come to your own conclusions. I never ask anyone to believe anything I say. I simply ask you to investigate the facts, legitimately and honestly. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour. As always, this is a commercial-free news program brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 to 7, Sunday mornings from 7 to 8. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network on Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org information and materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. This week's Jim Fair events. Santa Barbara, California at the Earl Warren Showgrounds started yesterday in tomorrow. Jim Fair, staunch ally of the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. Geoengineeringwatch.org booth is there. Free entry for any who are there to pick up materials. Free materials again. Want to thank Jim Fair for their help, their support in this most critical battle. Next week, big Jim Fair event, Costa Mesa Fairgrounds, May 18th through May 20th. If you're in the Southern California area, attend, get materials, help us to sound the alarm. It's at the Orange County Fair and Event Center. I want to announce more details on the July awareness-raising event for geoengineeringwatch.org and the climate engineering assault. This will be an afternoon and evening event, free to the public. Free geoengineeringwatch.org materials. The event will take place at the Fusaro Building, immediately adjacent to the Jim Fair exhibition event, which will be at the Shasta County Fairgrounds. The Jim Fair event from July 27th through the 29th, the geoengineeringwatch.org awareness event on the 28th only. Jim Fair, our steadfast ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering, is sponsoring this critical climate engineering awareness-raising event. Our thanks to them for that. As is the case with all Jim Fair events, there will be a geoengineeringwatch.org booth at the event all 3 days. The actual geoengineeringwatch.org awareness event itself, again, will be on the afternoon of Saturday the 28th. Doors to the Fusaro Building will open at 3 p.m. on Saturday the 28th. The speakers will include two former government scientists and an EPA scientist whistleblower that has been fired for attempting to expose climate engineering contamination and the fluoridated water poisoning of populations. I will myself give a fully updated presentation, PowerPoint presentation, on the unfolding climate engineering cataclysm. This presentation will cover all of our actions at geoengineeringwatch.org that are underway to fully expose and halt the climate intervention insanity, including our legal efforts. On that subject, we have just received more documents from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. A direct result of the lawsuit, we and the Minnesota Natural Health Coalition have filed against the U.S. Department of Commerce, the overseeing agency for NOAA. We will disclose our ongoing document release and review information at this July 28th event, along with the rest of the frontline data. There will be an extended question and answer period following the presentations. This event is completely free to the public. Those attending the geoengineeringwatch.org critical awareness raising event on July 28th at the Shasta County Fairgrounds need only to mention at the ticket booth that they are there to attend the geoengineeringwatch.org awareness event, and they will be granted, again, free admission. As always, geoengineeringwatch.org awareness raising materials will be given out free at this event. We're running out of time. Our biosphere and Earth's life support systems are collapsing by the day. Power structure desperation is accelerating by the day. If we're to have any chance of turning this tide of insanity, we must all work together toward reaching a critical mass of awareness. This is not only the first and most important leap in the right direction, it is, in fact, the only way forward in this fight. If you can make this event, you'll be a part of the most critical effort toward the greater good. Moving on. More details to come in the event. By the way, we'll do a full post with times, dates, names of who is speaking, full lineup. Simply have not been able to get to it yet. There's too much unfolding on the wider picture front. But again, July 28th, Shasta County Fairgrounds, Anderson, California, doors open at 3 for the geoengineeringwatch.org awareness raising event, although the Geoengineering Watch booth will be at the fairgrounds from July 27th through the July 29th with free materials the entire weekend. Moving on, white skies now increasingly the norm. How often do we see white skies when you look toward the horizon and you can barely make out the cumulus clouds floating over mountains because the background is white or a dirty, hazy gray? This is climate engineering, absolutely the result of the ongoing geoengineering operations. Time to pay attention. We have planet-altering programs occurring above our heads each and every day. Each and every day, geoengineeringwatch.org examines satellite images from all over the globe. There is virtually nothing untainted by the global climate engineering operations. And those in the U.S. and other Western powers need to understand, mainstream media is not telling you what's happening all over the globe. The climate cataclysms that are occurring everywhere, from record-shattering heat pushing 125 degrees in April in parts of the world to record floods, record droughts. Again, anthropogenic activity, human activity, a huge part of all that. But the biggest piece of the puzzle of all, climate engineering, is not being acknowledged by any official source or mainstream media. This is nothing short of a criminal cover-up. On that note, make no mistake, the biosphere collapse and climate engineering is directly connected to geopolitical issues that I will cover in shocking detail during this broadcast. Bear with me. But what I did last week, because of events unfolding in the Middle East that are directly connected to climate engineering, biosphere collapse, and the power structure desperation for resources, I sent the following message, which I'm about to recite, out to local Northern California radio show hosts. They know who they are. KCNR's Free Fire Radio is one. KQMS's Freedom in Action is another. There are more. Bottom line is, here's the message I sent and got zero response. At this most critical point in time, I would like to formally invite all of you, the radio show hosts, to a town hall style meeting to present information for the public good. Who is willing to attend and present the basis for their conclusions of what is occurring in our world and why? I will organize the gathering and pay for the facility if all are willing to participate. Equal time to speak will be allotted with an agreed-upon neutral moderator. If we are to be considered responsible media representatives, there is no room for bias, ideology, or preconception. We must stand on verifiable facts for the public benefit and for the greater good. I will do my best to work with all of your individual schedules to find an agreed-upon date for the gathering. Thank you for your consideration of this important proposal. Not a single peep out of any of these radio show hosts. There were several. Are they afraid that the narratives they are pushing on the populations are not fact-based? Not a peep out of any of them. Moving on. This critically important headline is from the worldmercuryproject.org. I want to cover this every week because we are poisoning not only our children, but the rest of the population. Here's the headline. Official Canadian data, listen carefully, shows that there is more autism in regions where vaccine coverage is the highest. Should this come as a surprise? No. No surprise at all to any that had their heads out of the sand and their eyes open. No surprise. From the report, autism prevalence is the highest in the Canadian provinces that also have the highest vaccine coverage. This evidence comes from a survey carried out by the very same Public Health Agency of Canada, which examined vaccine coverage by province territory. Unfortunately, Canadian parents who suspect that their autistic child was vaccine injured have nowhere to turn because Canada remains, quote, one of the few Western countries that denies the reality of vaccine injuries and provides no avenue whatsoever to compensate vaccine injury victims and their families. What a surprise. Just like in the U.S., where pharmaceutical companies have total immunity from prosecution. Is that not a massive red flag? How many parents will continue to hide their head in the sand? How many so-called physicians and pediatricians will continue to serve their paycheck and pension, and they are receiving huge six-figure bonuses in many cases and higher for administering the full series of vaccinations so they don't ask questions. And if they don't administer to at least 63% of their patients, this is fact, statistical fact, the full series of vaccinations, they lose their entire pharmaceutical industrial complex bonus. That's an unimaginable criminal conflict of interest. I've asked this question countless times in the past, and I'll ask it again. What are we to fear most? What's our greatest threat? Is it the completely criminal and completely out of control global power structure and all the tentacles that belong to it and the few murderous psychopaths that are at the head of it? Or, as I would argue, is our greatest threat the willful apathy and total complacency of the masses? Yes, this is our greatest threat and always has been. How many have the courage to look themselves in the mirror and ask, what can I do to help in this epic battle for the greater good? What can I do? And though, as I've always recognized and acknowledged, many are mired in the simple struggle to survive day to day, we must also ask this. How many in first world nations have willingly made themselves conforming bricks in the wall for the insane system in which we are now all caught? How many have willfully pursued every imaginable material possession they could possibly acquire, the price of which is to be perpetual prisoners of the suicidal system that is pushing us all toward near-term planetary omnicide? How many have willfully chosen to be rats running on treadmills, going around and around, destination nowhere? At what point do we consider the forced administration of highly toxic vaccinations to be a form of biological warfare against populations around the globe? At what point? How much proof do we need of the damage vaccinations are inflicting on populations? How can populations passively accept the fact that vaccination manufacturers, again, are completely immune from liability from the damage their vaccinations are inflicting on society at epidemic levels? How long has the U.S. government been engaged in this type of biological warfare or other types? Consider these headlines from InsurgeIntelligence.com. Revealed, this is a recent report, the long-suppressed official report on U.S. biowarfare in North Korea. Only one example. Here's a reminder of the facts of record we had as far back as 1977. Here's a headline report from that year. Army conducted 239 secret open-air germ warfare tests on U.S. civilians. From that report, small excerpt, only giving an example, and that was as of 1977. How much has happened since? The Army disclosed yesterday that it secretly conducted 239 germ warfare tests in open air between 1949 and 1969. The Army said in its report that the tests were, quote, essential to, quote, substantiate theories and fill knowledge gaps. Consider that. Our military, open air testing on innocent U.S. civilians. Do we think that they care at all about anyone else around the globe? They don't even care about our own population. And if you think it's better now, think again. It's only worse. Let's continue. I have a lot to cover in this broadcast. But understand, those at the top do not care about our population. They do not care about our troops, our military. How many examples do we need? And I give them broadcast after broadcast after broadcast. From the soldiers that are told to look through a set of goggles and watch the nuclear bomb go off, that they all die of cancer afterward, to depleted uranium, to the open burn pits that now thousands are dying of cancer, military personnel that inhaled the incredibly toxic fallout from these burn pits. There are so many examples of those at the top treating our military like lab rats, and this carries over to civilian populations as well. And those who live under the delusion that anyone in our government, at the top levels especially, care at all for their health or their welfare, you're living in a delusion, an absolute delusion. Let's continue with headlines. From consortiumnews.com, will a torturer become a CIA director? From the report, Gina Haspel faces a confirmation hearing to become CIA director, despite her record of supporting torture, which even the Pentagon admitted does not work, says Ray McGovern, former CIA asset Ray McGovern. I had dinner with Mr. McGovern some years back, shared information on climate engineering with him, which unfortunately he has not acted on, but I salute the rest of his actions to try to sound the alarm. Continuing from the report, so how does President Donald Trump think he can get this nomination approved? It's a sad story. Polling shows that most Americans, including Catholics, have been persuaded by Hollywood films and TV series and other media, along with Mr. Trump himself, that torture works. Mr. Trump said this, "Absolutely, I feel it works." Trump told ABC News this in January of 2017. I once had an individual who was a self-proclaimed Christian who I knew quite well on my property some years after the torture debacle was exposed. And by the way, the only person who went to jail on the torture crimes was John Kerikou, the person who blew the whistle on it. Only one to go to jail. But this self-proclaimed Christian, I'm not faulting all of Christianity, I'm simply revealing hypocrisy, was all for the torture. And when he told me that on my property, I asked him to leave. I've never seen him since. I will not expose myself or associate with that kind of hypocrisy ever. I don't care how old the relationship is. I won't. Moving on. So I would ask this. Is the current administration draining the swamp or filling it till it overflows in every direction? Stop, listen, and remember. This is an all-important point. The current administration, just like so many before it, Obama's, Clinton's, Bush's, so many, are nothing more or less than power structure props in the play. No matter how convincing the orchestrated drama is, all is elaborate theater to distract, divide, and polarize populations until the last possible moment. Let's consider the actual agendas that are being carried out in plain sight. Consider the facts. As we all know, Mr. Trump, or at least those who he represents, have withdrawn us from the Iran treaty. Though many Americans are blindly cheering about this, how many of those same individuals have any clue about the actual facts and the actual agendas that are being carried out? How many have a clue? In fact, let's ask a more important question. How many want a clue? How many really want to know what's actually going on? Information that might alter their sense of the world they live in, that might make them feel some sort of responsibility toward the whole, that would shatter the delusion under which they have lived their lives. How many really want to know? Not many, unfortunately. That's why we are in this dark place at this dark hour. This headline is from ZeroHedge.com and other sources. Trump, quote, committed to regime change in Iran, says Rudy Giuliani. Now, please follow me through with this. Follow me through. And remember, as I've stated over and over, all former administrations were criminal. Obama, Bush, Clinton, and the rest. All criminal. It's no different now. And if you believe it's different now, you're living in a delusion. It's not different. The theater becomes more convincing every year because those who write the drama become more skilled at what they're doing. It has to be more elaborate, more complex, and thus more convincing. Still theater. Again, the headline, Trump, quote, committed to regime change in Iran, and please follow me through with all these dots until I'm done. President Donald Trump is committed to regime change in Iran, said Rudy Giuliani, Trump's newest controversial attorney, although perhaps not for long, we know he's gone now, and longtime informal advisor, speaking to reporters after a Saturday keynote to the Iran Freedom Convention for Democracy and Human Rights in Washington, Giuliani said, we got a president who is tough, who does not listen to the people who are naysayers. Consider that. Anybody who disagrees with him. Giuliani continues, listen carefully. Giuliani said, and a president who is as committed to regime change as we are. Who's the we, Rudy? The inside ranks of the power structure? Mr. Giuliani, who clearly knew about 9/11 and what it was about, and I'll get to more absolutely shocking information on that in a moment, that I'm sure many have not heard and are not aware of. The report continues. In other words, pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal is now being conflated with regime change in Iran. That's what it's about. Giuliani says, final statement for this report, he's been a supporter of regime change for 10 years, much longer than that, Rudy, if the facts be known. He continues that it's the only way to peace in the Middle East, and that it's, quote, more important than an Israeli-Palestinian deal. Consider those facts. I'm moving on. From ZeroHedge.com and other sources, we have this new report. Leaked document reveals White House planning, quote, regime change in Iran. Please try to remember all the facts I'm presenting. The U.S. military operations, ongoing operations of aggression in the Middle East are not about freedom and democracy. They never have been. And if you continue to follow me through with the dots I'm going to connect, including audio statements from individuals like General Wesley Clark that need to be heard, please try to retain this information so you can connect all these dots through this broadcast. Moving on, there is this new Trump quote of unimaginable hypocrisy from last week, covered by multiple sources. Here's the quote. With all of the places Iran is involved, it's bedlam and death. Because, Trump continues, I don't think they do understand life. Let's consider that. What immense hypocrisy that is. While we are bombing countries into the Stone Age around the planet, especially in the Middle East, or supplying weapons to despotic regimes like Saudi Arabia that has created the worst humanitarian disaster ever in the modern world, human-caused disaster. In Yemen, bombing civilians by the tens of thousands, getting weapons from us. And Trump points the finger at Iran. It's not about what Iran really did, or rather, should I say, what Iran hasn't done. Although so many Americans are blindly waving their flags, the type of Americans that Mark Twain outlined, as I stated in the beginning of this program. Again, for the record, Iran has not invaded any other country for well over two centuries. The U.S., on the other hand, has invaded and or occupied nearly 100 countries in as many years, and currently occupies and or has bases in over 150 countries around the globe. That's over three-fourths of the countries on the planet. Who is the aggressor? And because I'm focusing on the egregious acts of our country and the military-industrial complex, that's not condoning certain policies in Iran or Russia or China or any other country. It's simply saying, what are we doing? And how can we point the finger at anybody when we're doing what we're doing? We can't, not morally, no chance. And how many previous broadcasts have I tried to connect the dots from 9/11 to the present? Please listen carefully and consider again everything I've already outlined on this broadcast. Even at this late hour, very few Americans are, unfortunately, willing to face the truth about 9/11. Very few are yet willing to face the truth about a long list of converging catastrophes that are rapidly closing in on us all. For those that are willing, listen carefully. I will again try to make clear why and how we find ourselves in this increasingly desperate and dark hour. Though the incomprehensible criminality of our own government has been growing and metastasizing for many decades, 9/11 was the culminating moment when the floodgates of that insanity were fully unleashed. So many events since 9/11 are completely connected, all the way up to what Mr. Trump and Israel have done during this last week. Listen carefully and connect the dots. The shocking truth is not hard to see. One only needs to abandon ideology, bias, and preconception. One only needs to fully open their eyes. One only needs to completely prioritize the unvarnished truth. Listen carefully.
Repeat after me. I, George Walker Bush, do solemnly.
When George W. Bush took office in 2000, he brought with him Vice President Dick Cheney, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, and Deputy Secretary for Defense Paul Wolfowitz, all of whom had served together previously in the administrations of Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. Paul Wolfowitz, in particular, had long been recognized as the intellectual force behind a radical neoconservative fringe of the Republican Party. For years, Wolfowitz had been advancing the idea that the United States should reconsider its commitments to international treaties, international law, and multilateral organizations such as the United Nations. A radical plan for American military domination first surfaced during the administration of George H.W. Bush. In 1992, Paul Wolfowitz, working in the Department of Defense, was asked to write the first draft of a new national security strategy, a document entitled the Defense Planning Guidance. The most controversial elements of what would later come to be known as the Wolfowitz Doctrine were that the United States should dramatically increase defense spending, that it should be willing to take preemptive military action, and that it should be willing to use military force unilaterally, with or without allies. This new reliance on military force was necessary, according to Wolfowitz, to prevent the emergence of any future or potential rivals to American power, and to secure access to vital resources, especially Persian Gulf oil. William. Out of power during the Clinton presidency, Wolfowitz and his colleagues affiliated themselves with a number of influential conservative think tanks. In 2000, they would craft yet another proposed national security strategy, this one published by a right-wing think tank calling itself the Project for the New American Century. At its core, the document revived the Wolfowitz Doctrine. It called on the United States to increase the military budget by up to $100 billion, to deny other nations the use of outer space, and to adopt a more aggressive and unilateral foreign policy that would allow the United States to act offensively and preemptively in the world. The elimination of states like Iraq figured prominently in this grand vision. But even these hardline conservatives knew that the Wolfowitz Doctrine was likely too radical to win the support of the foreign policy establishment, their own Republican Party, and the American people. In their defining document, written in September of 2000, a full year before 9/11, they acknowledged that the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one. Absent, in their own chilling words, some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. 1 year later, that event would arrive.
The event, of course, in question is the 9/11 false flag terrorist attacks. Now let's consider what former NATO commander General Wesley Clark said on film and on the record about the U.S. military agenda that was put into motion immediately after the 9/11 false flag terror attacks. Attacks that were used to galvanize the U.S. population into blindly supporting the power structure conquest of the Middle East and the resources that existed there. Listen carefully. This short audio clip is former NATO Supreme Commander General Wesley Clark in his own voice and his own words.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No, no." He says, we've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq. This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, we're going to war with Iraq. Why? He said, I don't know. He said, I guess they don't know what else to do. So I said, well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda? He said, no, no. He says, there's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq. He said, I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, are we still going to war with Iraq? And he said, oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
Let's repeat for the record what General Wesley Clark was told immediately after 9/11, the countries into which regime change was to be instigated. Immediately after 9/11, he was told this. Immediately. He finished with Iran being the final country that the U.S. power structure wanted to topple. Let's look at some headlines from the last week. Netanyahu, because we're also talking about Israel, the U.S. and Israel joined at the hip, joined at the hip. The two most feared countries on the planet based on international polls. Netanyahu's regime change infomercial, wanting regime change in Iran. Another headline, again, from the last week, hoping for regime change in Iran, from the Jerusalem Post. Another headline, Israel eyeing regime change in Iran, from May 1st, before Israel started bombing Iran again. Another headline, U.S. wants Iraqi-style regime change in Iran. Another headline, all from the last week or two. The Iran regime change crew is back. It goes on and on and on. How hard is it to connect these dots? It's not hard. But the problem is, unfortunately, most Americans don't yet want the truth. They don't want to face the truth. It feels much better to blindly wave your flags and be the kind of quote-unquote patriot that Mr. Mark Twain described, as I highlighted in the beginning of this broadcast. The form of patriotism that's not patriotism at all. That's simply tyranny and cowardice. Only in fully facing the truth can solace be found. Can a sense of honor and virtue and meaning and purpose be found? Fully facing the truth. Not running from it, not hiding from it, not cowering in your cabin below the deck of the Titanic, which won't save you, won't save anyone. And it certainly is a total betrayal of our children, if that's the course we take. Our children, whom we owe our lives to. Moving on, still much more to cover to try to connect these dots. Iran blasts U.S. 9/11 ruling as a mockery of Americans, the victims of terror attack. Again, a false flag terror attack that anyone with any sense of logic and reason would conclude, if they would take the time to watch what 3,000 of the world's top architects and engineers are stating on the record with incredibly powerful and indisputable data, the 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth movement. And I will leave, for if you're in the Shasta-Siskiyou County areas, I will leave more 9/11 Architects and Engineers documentaries at Orchard Nutrition. You can pick one up for free if you promise to put it to use and promise to share it. You will not be the same after viewing that if you have no clue what happened on 9/11. The information they present is absolutely inarguable and completely overturns the official narrative, which is completely impossible based on the laws of physics. And how many even know there was a third building to collapse on 9/11? So many people I talk to don't even know. They have no clue because the media and the government doesn't want you to know that a third building collapsed, 47-story steel structure high-rise, fell in free fall time, 7 seconds, never got hit by anything. Only controlled demolitions can do that. That's all. All this on film, lab test proof, and the opinions of 3,000 architects and engineers. If you care about the truth, pick one up, view it, share it, help us to sound the alarm. So here we have Iran justifiably blasting the U.S. 9/11 ruling, which, if those who don't know what that's about, that's the decision of a judge in the U.S. to saddle Iran, not Iraq, that we all know was already false. It had nothing to do with 9/11. Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11 at all. But now pursuing Iran as the latest perpetrator of 9/11, Iran, who had absolutely nothing to do with that event. In fact, from this report, it says the decision was taken in spite of the fact that special investigation commissions had not established any connection whatsoever of Iranian involvement in that terrorist act. The facts are irrelevant for our government. They simply demonize whoever they want to demonize. They convince the American public that we need to bomb their country or alter their government to put in a puppet government. And how many Americans blindly wave their flags and buy the false narrative? How many? There's no honor in that. There's no honor at all. And yes, there are Muslim extremists, of course. There's extremists in every belief system, every single one. And let's ask this, as I've stated so many times, who's in whose country bombing who? What would we do if they did to us, any of these countries mentioned, what we are doing to them? What would we do? There is no room for such immense and completely immoral hypocrisy. The United States of hypocrisy is how the world sees us. That's the fact of the matter. Again, a reminder of the following facts for the record. Iran has not invaded any other country for over 230 years, none. Again, a reminder, in the last 100 years, the U.S. has invaded and or occupied nearly 100 countries, and the list keeps growing. Israel has been and is a party to the U.S. efforts to destabilize and topple the Middle East as the desperate quest for remaining natural resources accelerates. That's what this is about. So I ask this, who's the true threat to global peace and global stability? Let's consider this headline. This is from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former President Reagan cabinet official. Here's his headline. America's word is worthless. Dr. Roberts continues with this. We can now dismiss all hope that Trump's campaign promises to pull out of Syria and normalize relations with Russia and stop the offshoring of American jobs will ever become U.S. policies. They won't. By dishonoring the U.S. government's word and pulling out of the Iran Nuclear Non-Proliferation Agreement, an agreement signed by the U.S., U.K., France, Germany, Russia, China, and Iranian President Trump has revealed that his regime is totally in the hands of the Zionist war hawks. We have, again last week, more illegal bombing of a sovereign nation, Syria, one of the nations Wesley Clark named, targeted immediately after the 9/11 false flag event. All part of the agenda. How many times do I need to connect these dots? And how many people have heard the connection of these facts and still refuse to look at the facts? Pick up a copy of the 9/11 A&E documentary from Orchard, or if you live out of the area, order it from online. Support this group, order one of their documentaries, and share it with others if you care about the truth. This is the catalyzing event by which the full fury of the fascist military-industrial complex that now runs the Western world was unleashed. And again, not to say that other governments are benign. I'm not saying that. I've never said that. But I'm saying, what's the greatest threat at this moment in time? I've outlined it again and again. And all of this is connected to climate engineering as well. And those who are blindly waving their flags for the current administration, don't forget that that administration is ramping up to ever higher levels, the highly toxic, biosphere-destroying, climate engineering, weather warfare insanity, the weather terrorists, which is also biological warfare. And this government, this administration, is ramping those programs up, toxifying every single breath you take, and you're waving your flag in blind support, believing whatever you're told. Not patriotism. That is not patriotism. Let's continue. From multiple sources, here's a headline. Last week, war is good for business. U.S. weapons manufacturers' share prices soar on New York Stock Exchange as Trump pulls out of Iran deal. That's what it's all about. Proliferation of the military-industrial complex, cancer of total insanity that's consuming the planet. That's what it's about. It always has been. Now let's transition back to the bottom line, biosphere collapse, the factor on which our collective futures completely depend. While the military-industrial complex is focused on making yet more weapons of mass destruction and creating more conflict, our planet is dying by the day. Here's a headline. Researchers stumped over decline of sparrow population, the canary in the coal mine here, if you will. Researchers are investigating why the sparrow, long considered a barometer of human environments, is in dramatic decline. Report continues, house sparrows have been with us for a long time. Some estimates suggest they've lived alongside humans for 10,000 years. But will these ubiquitous birds be with us much longer? The precise reason for the decline is something of a riddle. Yes, it's a riddle to scientists who are paid to ram their head as far in the sand as they can possibly get it. That's why it's a riddle. It's not a riddle to anybody who has their eyes open. Report continues. Explanations range from increased predation by magpies, sparrowhawks, and house cats. This is ridiculous. It's hard to even read this sort of absurdity that we pay quote-unquote scientists to put out. They find any reason in the world except the most obvious reason. The biosphere and the life in it is collapsing. We know we have an 80 to 90% insect decline around the globe, proven by peer-reviewed study. And they wonder why the sparrows are declining. We have study to prove, for example, in the case of bees. Aluminum is killing the bees. They're dying of symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia. Are we to think it's not affecting any other insect? Where's the aluminum coming from? No, and it's not floating around the air naturally, no. Or the bees would have never been here, nor us, no, nor most aquatic or terrestrial insects or all other forms of life. Aluminum does not exist in the environment in free form. It has to be mined and refined and sprayed to get there. It's the primary element named in climate engineering patents. Geoengineers stating on the record they want to put, and in fact are putting, we believe this much or more, 20 million tons in the atmosphere annually. And we have these quote-unquote scientists scratching their heads, trying to pretend they have no idea what's going on. Last statement from this report. Researchers believe that solving the riddle is important precisely because sparrows, quote, long association with humans. Sparrows, rather like the miner's canary, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, can act as a barometer of the health of the human environment. And in a word, where those environments are increasingly urban ones, understanding what makes cities so toxic for a species that has long called them home is an urgent task. It's not just the urban areas. The bees are just as dead 1,000 miles into the wilderness because the covering of the planet with these toxic materials that are also destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, are everywhere. As I stated in the beginning of this broadcast and many others, on NASA satellite imagery, we can see nothing untainted on the entire planet, anywhere, nothing. This is planetary omnicide. And yet we have quote-unquote scientists pretending they don't know what's going on. If you want to hear me debate scientists live on air, go to geoengineeringwatch.org. You'll see a number of debates, including the academia's most recognized denier of climate engineering, Dr. Douglas McMartin. Listen to the hour-long debate. Watch the YouTube where documents are presented and see who you think has the facts right, me or Dr. McMartin. Watch that and decide for yourself. Moving on. From Quartz Media, LLC in India. Let's remember as I read these headlines. Biosphere collapse is the bottom line. Biosphere collapse and resource depletion is fueling power structure desperation. From this report from India, what's going on with India's crazy weather? Scientists have long linked rising temperatures with the increased intensity of storms and India's unusual summer heat, which has only been getting warmer year by year. No acknowledgement of climate engineering in the equation. Can't have a legitimate discussion about the climate without acknowledging climate engineering. Can't legitimately discuss climate engineering without discussing the patented processes of chemical ice nucleation to create short-term toxic cooldowns. More headlines. From Scientific American and other sources, there is this. Shock and thaw. Alaskan sea ice just took a steep, unprecedented dive. Weather conditions and a boost from global warming led to the stunning record low ice cover in the winter of 2018. April should be prime walrus hunting season for the native villagers that dot Alaska's remote western coast. In years past, the winter sea ice where the animals would rest would still be abundant, providing prime targets for the subsistence hunters. But this year, sea ice coverage as of late April was more like what would be expected in mid-June. The sea ice decline is so stark that it has stunned researchers who have spent years watching Arctic sea ice dwindle due to climate change. No mention of climate engineering from quote-unquote scientists. Paid liars at this point that are betraying the human race and the entire web of life. Final statement from this report. Winter sea ice cover in the Bering Sea did not just hit a record low in 2018. It was half that of previous lower winter records. Half. There's never been anything remotely like this for sea ice in the Bering Sea going back more than 160 years. Where's the headlines on stories like this? Where are they? We are very close to a blue ocean event in the Arctic. At that point, there will be no hiding climate engineering. At that point, our reality will go upside down. It's coming very soon. Another headline from insideclimatenews.org. Arctic heat surges again, and studies are finding climate change connections. Similar to 2016, the winter of 2017-2018 has seen extreme Arctic heat waves, including one that's happening now. Pushing cold air from the Arctic south to cool parts of the eastern U.S. is a part of the climate engineering process. They are killing the planet, accelerating the die for the planet, in addition to all the other human forms of damage to the planet, in order to mask the severity of biosphere implosion from the population until the last possible moment. Academia, not mentioning climate engineering, over and over. Another headline, this one from EcoWatch.com. Satellite reveals troubling retreat of Patagonian glaciers. From that report, researchers with the European Space Agency have mapped in stunning detail the extensive retreat of South America's Patagonian ice fields, where some glaciers are melting at the highest rates on Earth and contributing further to sea level rise. Same thing's happening, new reports out of New Zealand. I don't have time to cover that now. Same thing happening all over the globe. Can't hide this much longer. Again, biosphere collapse, fueling power structure desperation, pushing us toward World War III, with all the agendas being carried out that I have highlighted in this broadcast. Here's another headline from newsobserver.com. Sunny day flooding worsens at North Carolina beaches. A sign sea level rise is decades too soon, studies say. We knew at geoengineeringwatch.org that was coming. We have never, ever altered our conclusions because our conclusions were based on the unvarnished frontline truth. Please investigate. Don't believe me. Investigate for yourself at geoengineeringwatch.org. We're running short of time. Bear with me with the following headlines. This one from earth.com. Florida's mangroves may soon be underwater from rising sea level. It's happening all over the globe. Florida real estate starting to decline in value rapidly for anyone that has their eyes slightly awake. No stopping what's coming. No shutting it off. Coastal installations are done. It's a matter of time. Another headline, Florida will be underwater soon. Now listen to this headline. Listen carefully to this because this is one of the ways the media attempts to polarize and divide populations. Florida will be underwater soon, but Republicans won't do anything about it. From this report, if you think concerns about climate change, and let me elaborate on this because it's not the Republicans, the Democrats and Republicans, two sides to the same coin. But media tries to divide the population. That's one of the headlines that they use to do it. If you think concerns about climate change are overblown, or if you have it in your head that global warming is still an abstract concept, go down to Florida. The problem isn't just that the sea is rising, which could result in falling home prices. If the home's underwater, do you think it might affect the price? You think? Health problems for residents and eventually daily flooded streets in Miami. But back to the beginning, back to this headline, blaming it on Republicans, an attempt to divide and conquer the population. The Democrats, what are they doing? Nothing, nothing to help. What are the so-called left environmentalists doing to help? By not acknowledging the single greatest environmentally destructive factor of all, climate engineering, nothing. The criminal corruption in our government is not on the side of the Republicans or the Democrats. They're simply a manufactured illusion of theater by those in power to divide populations. The criminality is everywhere on both sides of the aisle. When will the American population understand that and start to behave accordingly and not fall for the power structure theater? Moving on, another example of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification being used to create a short-term toxic cool down. This headline is from the UK Mirror. When there's enough moisture present, atmospheric moisture, they can chemically cool the surface temperatures. Here's the headline. Freezing fog descends on packed British beach in one of the hottest days of the year, sending sunseekers running for cover. Freezing fog on one of the hottest days of the year. Think about that contrast. If you don't know what chemical ice nucleation is for weather modification, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and search that subject and find facts from this report. Freakish weather conditions today stunned visitors to the British beach in Devon who hoped to bask in scorching temperatures to kick off the bank holiday weekend, but instead were hit by freezing fog. Another headline from multiple sources. While the U.S. shivered, the rest of the world simmered in planet's third hottest April. Listen to this and connect it with what I've tried to sound the alarm on in so many previous broadcasts. The biggest military in the world, bigger than the next 10 militaries combined, the most capable of massive climate engineering operations. Why would the eastern U.S. be so cool when the rest of the world is frying? Because they are trying to cool down the most populated regions of the country in order to divide and confuse the population of the U.S. as long as possible. If you see a big blue patch on the eastern U.S. for April and other months, while the rest of the world is red, shouldn't that send off some alarms? Look up chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Look up engineered winter. Find facts. Speaking of facts, let me cover this fun fact for those who don't think human beings are damaging the planet. Deforestation facts. The Earth loses an average of 18.7 million acres of forest per year, which is equal to 27 soccer fields per minute. Per minute. In 2016, we lost about four times that, 100 soccer fields per minute. Who could think that could possibly continue? No trees, no people. Very simple. Biosphere collapse, power structure desperation, global conflict. Remember that. How do you hide it? Here's from Science Magazine, recent article, recent headline. Trump White House quietly cancels NASA research, not that I like NASA, verifying greenhouse gas cuts. Cover it up. Hide it. Fire the scientists. Gag the weathermen. Illegal gag order on all National Weather Service and no employees right now. This is what's going on right now. The attempt to cover it up, keep business as usual, and further fuel the insanity of the completely out of control military-industrial complex. Psychopathic behavior from psychopaths who are running the planet because the population does not want to face reality. That's the equation we're in. And the delusion from the so-called science community that somehow we will tech our way out of this when we have 70 years of climate intervention programs that have perhaps already pounded the final nails into our collective coffins. That's where we are at. If we have any chance, if we have any chance of turning this tide, we must work together to effectively and efficiently wake the masses to what's going on. Wake them to the fact that we are in a fight for life. And the fight for life, again, is not off on the horizon, somewhere over the next ridge. It's kicking the door in right now, as I've stated over and over and over. And those in the so-called science communities that are willfully, criminally denying the ongoing climate engineering insanity, let's consider one last headline from last week. The headline itself, it's certainly accurate, but the conclusion pushed in the article itself is a blatant, glaring lie. Here's the headline of climate engineering denial from the Huffington Post. Here's the headline. The dangerous belief that extreme technology will fix climate change. It's not a dangerous belief. It's a dangerous fact that it's making climate change far worse, not better. That's the fact of the matter. But here's the report. What it says, an excerpt from the report. It boils down to a failure to question capitalism, civilization, and the notion of, quote, progress. The impacts of geoengineering, and here's the lie, on the global scale are unknown, in part because no massive geoengineering project has been undertaken. Think about the scope and scale of that lie. When any rational, sane person with any sense of deductive reasoning can look up and see something horrific is going on, and virtually mountains of facts, film footage, government documents, and a host of other corroborating data confirms that something is climate engineering going on in our skies all over the globe, and yet we have the whole of academia and the whole of the so-called environmentalist community pretending it's not happening. And the immense criminal hypocrisy from the so-called environmental groups, Greenpeace, Sierra Club, EDF, WWF, and the rest, all towing the official lie that what we see is not really what we see. If we continue on this course, we're done. It's game over. We must awaken the masses, and time is not on our side. Let's consider and remember that those in power are not gods. They're nothing more than the most fearful and fallible cowards among the ranks of our species. Can they be exposed and held accountable? Absolutely. But only if we can awaken the masses. How do we do that? Every single one of us can and must play our part. See the activist suggestions link on the upper left of the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Find out what you can do to make your voice heard in this most critical battle. Find out how you can effectively and efficiently wake those around you and help them to wake others in their circles. We are not powerless. We must make every day count. Time is not on our side. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.